Yeah. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe your words towards us. Breathe your words towards us so that we can walk in you and we can walk in the Spirit so that we can be a follower of Jesus as what you have commanded us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what are the marks Paul mentions here in verse 17 before the very last benediction of the whole Galatians? Some say they are the scars on Paul's body. Paul got these marks in persecution when he was on his way of preaching the gospel all around the Roman Empire. And he is here comparing these scars with the marks of circumcision, which those troublers got in their way of pursuing legalism. In other words, these scars are the visible marks of the gospel on Paul's body compared to the invisible marks of circumcision of the legalist. Some say these marks are the teachings of Paul throughout the Galatians, the preparation which is translated as on here can also be translated as in, according to the Greek scripture. For those who know Greek, you know how wide the range can be for translate the preposition and in Greek, right? So this marks the specific teaching of walking in spirit, deriving from the gospel of Jesus Christ, are in Paul's body. So throughout his body, even creating his body in his every speech, every movement, and every thought. So the marks reflect the spirituality in Paul's body, something inside. So despite the difference of the interpretation of the scholars, as we've seen, I invite you today to think about where the marks of our faith should be. I will show you what I believe Paul has said in the epistle to Galatians regarding the marks of Jesus Christ, which should be both on our body, explicit, visible, and influential, and also in our body, spiritual, profound, and transformational. So before we go into the text, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been troubled by the marks on your body or in your body? Let me elaborate. Have you ever felt bad about the visible features on your body? Your height, your look, your dressing, your car, your degree, your living place, or even your dogs? Or have you ever had a sense of inferiority because of the invisible things of your identity? Your family, your friendships, your sense of hopelessness in your season, or the unspoken brokenness of your past? I have, and I have both. I've been troubled by the marks both on my body and in my body, regularly. Even now I am standing before you as a pastor of a church and preaching a sermon, I can sense the shame deep in my heart because of the accent I have when speaking English, the visible and audible mark on my body. No less to say what I have been bearing from the past in my body. I can tell we are all troubled by the marks, for it's a suffocating experience for our outward appearance and inward identity to be marked or labeled. So how can Paul say here in verse 17 that from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus? How does Paul know this good news in his life? Now, Paul has talked about his past in the first two chapters in Galatians. He put his stories in the past before his arguments against the people who forced the Galatians to be circumcised. If I, Paul, wish to boast according to my body, I can have easily done that. Look at the marks Paul has got before he accepted Jesus. I was advancing to Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. I was extremely zealous in persecuting the church and zealous to the traditions of my father. And I am the one who are ready to persecute the church and tried to destroy it. These are the visible marks of Paul. We see in the verses in Philippians, the internal marks of Paul's identity. I am a Pharisee. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I am blameless as to the righteousness of the law. No wonder Paul writes in the Philippians this sentence, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Nevertheless, is Paul confident because of the marks he had in the past? Does he boast in these visible and invisible characters? In verse 14, Paul says, far be from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord. So here the Greek of the phrase, far be from me, is the same with the very last phrase of chapter 2, verse 17, meaning, certainly not, meganoitor, certainly not. So should Paul boast in the marks he had before he knows the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul answers it not with an ordinary denial. Oh, as a Christian, should not boast. We should not boast. We should be humble, no show off. He answers it with certainty. Surely not. Absolutely not. I would not think of it a second. With the marks in the past, Paul has been an outstanding figure among his fellows. With these marks, he can easily live on his own fate in the religious future, right? But look at what Paul is ready to do concerning these marks. Certainly not. Certainly no boasting in them. I've left them behind for the sake of Jesus Christ, let alone boasting in them. Do we have any marks we can boast in, either on our body or in our body? For some of us, the marks we have may be troubles in our life, for they don't fit the standard of the circumstance that we are in. But for some, the marks may be the source of our boasting, because we find other people like the marks we own. Boasting is not necessarily made openly. It can be implicit, keeping implicit, unspoken, hidden in the secret corner of our heart, by which we grasp these marks firmly, keeping anyone, including God, from taking them away. So do you have these marks that you are confident in? I have. I have these marks, and they are accumulating day by day. The more I own in my life, the firmer I want to hold them, and the more I boast in them against other people, because I feel like once I lose these marks, I will be persecuted by my surroundings. Not the physical persecution Paul encountered in his time, but the persecutions concerning your achievement, performance, personality, social ability, etc. Or even in the church, not the secular world. We've got marks for evaluating spirituality. We are troubled when we don't meet the expectations, or we boast in them when we are the people whom the church expects. Even though we can boast in them, it's suffocating to keep a good image all the time. How can I get rid of these marks rather than be troubled by them or boast in them? Now Paul has a good news for the freedom that we long for. He says in verse 14 to the Galatians and to us, "Surely I do not boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Why can Paul stop boasting in his marks without hesitation? Because he knows how annoying they are. He knows how life-taking the mark of circumcision has been among Galatian church. It's just deadly to focus on it. So in this conclusive passage of Galatians, Paul's teaching doesn't end with do's and don'ts, not with whether we should do circumcision or not, but Paul declares in verse 15, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts anything. It's not whether we should put this label on or not. The label just doesn't count because this label is vain." Paul points out an important fact in verse 13. "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh." Those people possessed here do not even believe in what they told you. They just want to show by your circumcision. "Look, someone agrees with my value. Look, someone joins me." But is there really any value behind their mark of circumcision? Obviously not. Thus, Paul argues against this mark by declaring, "It doesn't count. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts anything." What counts then? A new creation. So Paul is here turning our eyes from the mark of circumcision to God. Whenever we focus on the circumcision, either we are troubled by them or we boast in them. Whenever we fix our eyes on the marks on our body, we feel like adding something to it or we want to make a good showing of it. Whenever we are attracted by the marks in our body, we tend to complain of them or compete by means of them. And we find the marks we once boasted in may be now troubling us and vice versa. So Paul says to us, "Get rid of the marks. Behold, turn your eyes to God. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts anything, but a new creation, which is newly created by the hands of God, spotless, blameless, without blemish, no marks on this new creation." What a joy God has done for us. And whoever walks by this rule, Paul says in verse 16, "Peace and mercy be upon them." Whenever I walk by the marks, trouble and boasting are with me. But whenever I walk by the rule of the new creation, the rule that Jesus Christ has done on the cross, the rule that Jesus initiates a new creation in his crucifixion and resurrection, peace and mercy be upon them. What a freedom God has prepared for us. Now, Jesus has demonstrated this freedom in his gospel. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. So from the introduction of the Apostle Luke, we can easily tell the characteristics of Zacchaeus. For appearance, he was rich in wealth, yet short in height. For his inner identity, he is a Jewish tax collector, which is almost a synonym of betrayer in the Jewish community. And he might also feel inferior because of his stature. With these marks outside and inside, he came into the scene with a very symbolic action, climbing up to a tree, hiding himself in the leaves, yet longing for seeing the famous figure, Jesus. Now, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Surprisingly, Jesus paid attention to him, not paying attention to what he looked like or what he was experiencing psychologically, but just paid attention to him and said, "Come down, don't hide. I will come to your house. Let's sit at the table together, face to face." When the people group saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." What Jesus has done to Zacchaeus offended these people. In their hearts, they have labeled their neighbors into different groups. They label them for the security of social identity and the success of relationship. That's why they group Jesus into their circle, yet Zacchaeus, the tax collector, had no place among them. However, when Jesus came, he broke the labels which assumed in their hearts. That's why they were grumbling. Contrast to them, Zacchaeus was exalted by what Jesus said. He stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." What Zacchaeus said here is this point: I want to abandon the marks on me. I want you to give me a new identity. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Whom do you identify with? Are you now still securing your identity and achievement by putting marks on the people around you and on yourself? Or are you tired of labeling and being labeled, hoping eagerly and shouting, "Someone free me from this"? Or are you ready to tell those who are captured in the marks by telling them, "Today, salvation has come to your house, has come to this exhausted church, this comforting fellowship, this wounded relationship, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost"? Let's go back to the question we asked in the beginning of this sermon. What does Paul mean by the marks of Jesus? The marks of Jesus are the characteristics of a new creation through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are radically different from the marks we've got in the past, both in our body and on our body. Because the characteristics of a new creation have discarded all the marks in the past and made us a brand new creature before God. With these marks, Paul says, no way for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. With this mask, Paul says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. With this mask, Paul says, peace and mercy be upon them. Is it true that peace and mercy be upon us? Listen to what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, hurry and come down. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, the timid, hurry and come down. He doesn't even say, Zacchaeus, the sinner, hurry and come down. When Jesus calls us, he is not calling our labels in the past together with us. He is calling us, calling you, calling me. Look, hurry, come down. Not the pastor, hurry and come down. Of course, I'm not talking about faith has nothing to do with our past. We need to deal with our sins and restore the brokenness in the past. But they are not the focus of the gospel. Gospel is much more on being a new creation. We deal with the marks in our past for the purpose of throwing them away and not focusing on them. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts anything but a new creation. This is why Paul has talked about walking in the Holy Spirit from chapter 5, verse 16 to chapter 6, verse 10. And the promise of walking in the Spirit can be summarized in chapter 6, verse 8. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So this is the feature of the life of a new creation. Sow to the Spirit, and you will reap eternal life. This is what we need to focus on. Behold, no mask count anything but a new creation, not so to your appearance, not so to your performance in the church, or so to your achievement in this world, or even so to your friendship or your family, but so to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Fix your eyes on God. So Paul here, before closing the letter of Galatians, declares his identity in Jesus Christ. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus Christ. These marks of a new creation free Paul from a persecutor to a man who blessed the others. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Bless you all, brothers, for I am now experiencing the transforming power of the Spirit. Bear the marks of Jesus. They are not the harsh realities of our own life, and they are not the burdens of religious life. Yes, Paul says, I am bearing the marks. I am carrying something rather heavy on me. But like how the meaning of marks has been transformed when it goes with Jesus, the meaning of bearing has been changed. It is not that Paul is tired of bearing a new religious burden when he converts to Jesus Christ, but now Jesus, the burden, carries his life. It is not that the marks, the schemata, the signs of slaves in Greek, yoke him to anything. But Jesus, the yoke, sets him free from the standard of the world. Can you see how transforming it is? This power works on you and me, brothers and sisters. The marks are the symbols of transforming power of the Holy Spirit on the new creation, just as what God did in the beginning of the world. Let there be light. Let there be life. These marks will turn a persecutor or the one who is persecuted into a blessed one. These are the marks of Jesus Christ, both on our body and in our body. May God bless us all. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the salvation you've given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this salvation, we know now we are not marked by the standard of the world, but now we are bearing the marks of Jesus Christ, who frees us from all kinds of marks in our life. May you set us free by your Holy Spirit. May you grant us your new creating power, both on our body and in our body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's respond with Hosanna. Why don't we rise for the song? See the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The Holy shakes, the Holy shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the I see a generation rising up to take the place with selfless faith, I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees. Oh,
Let's pray. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.